Everybody, lovely to have you along. And this is the first Sunday of our new summer series, Higher, His Names Reveal His Grace. And as I mentioned earlier, we'll have a few different speakers along throughout the month of July, looking at different names of God. And the Bible reveals to us lists of different names of God, known by many of them are in the Old Testament. And the message of grace isn't confined to Romans, Galatians or Ephesians. It actually runs from Genesis to Revelation. And a lot of these names, all of these names reveal something about the grace of God. And today we're kicking things off with the first of these names, and it is Jehovah Shammah. Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. That's what it means. And today we're going to discover the reality of Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there, in our own lives. Jehovah Shammah, this name appears only once in the whole of the Old Testament, and it's found right at the end of Ezekiel. Ezekiel 48, verse 35, and it reads as follows, and from that day the name of the city will be The Lord is There. I've been really encouraged this morning, actually, when we were worshipping and that. I've had no real contact, obviously, with the worship team other than just a few organisational things. But there's a common theme coming through, and it's amazing that some of the stuff that they're singing about is actually in my talk. But that's God. You know? Back to Ezekiel. Ezekiel is a sort of prophetic book in the Old Testament. I wouldn't think it's a book that gets thumbed through too often by too many people. It's quite a long book. One half of it is very sort of down and oh dear, you know, everything's going wrong. And the other half of it is uplifting. That's of course where we find Ezekiel 37, the story of the Valley of the Dry Bones, and how the Spirit of God brought those bones back to life. But the whole book of Ezekiel is set around the time in Babylon, where part of the nation had been exiled, part of them still remained in the southern kingdom in Judah, and basically it was just before the whole lot were exiled off to Babylon. So the book actually opens in Babylonia, where Ezekiel is by a river there, where some of the people have already been exiled, and the main thrust of the book is split in two, as I say. One half is a bit, doom and gloom. Now, this is going to happen, you know, all these bad stuff is going to happen, and yet the other half of it is prophetically looking forward to what lies ahead. Jehovah Shammah. I find it a fascinating name, really. You know, it speaks to me about the presence of God, not just in our own lives individually, but as His church, collectively the community, all of us who believe. And this really is the reflection of the gospel, the new covenant. And it's really the truth here written by the Old Testament prophet. God, the Almighty One, the All-Powerful One, the Ever-Living One, the Creator of all things, seen and unseen, present with us and within us. And it's surely the predominant characteristic of His church, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. God's very presence, folks, this morning, is what makes the difference. It's not about you and me and what we can do. It's all about God and what He has done, is doing now, and will continue to do. And this morning, I just want to take a few moments to reflect on three things about this name. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. I want to look at it in the context of our past. I want to look at it in the context of the here and now, what we do now, and the context of the future, what is to come. So let's look at Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there, present in your past. I want to stick up the picture there, Sam, on the screen for me, please. Have a look at that. What can you tell me about that picture? It's a view in the rear view mirror, but what about? What can you tell me about the view in the rear view mirror versus the rest of the picture? It's focused. It is focused. So when we look in the rear view mirror, everything is clear, but as we're going along, everything is blurry round about us. You know, sometimes in life, life can be a bit like that. We're going through life 100 miles an hour. Work, career, even church, friends, family. It's all a bit of a blur. And sometimes we can only understand or reflect on things properly when we actually take time to think about what we have been through. And often, with the benefit of hindsight, we see how God was working in our own lives. You know, we can say of our past circumstances, if you sit and think about them, the Lord is there. 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 It's amazing when we look back. We can see God in our history. Why? Because it's His story. Such is the case with our own individual lives, as the setting here with the exiles in Babylon. Let's go to Psalm 137. Psalm 137, verses 1 to 4. Beside the rivers of Babylon, we thought about Jerusalem, and we sat down and prayed. We hung our small hearts on the willow trees. Our enemies had brought us here as their prisoners, and now they wanted us to sing and entertain them. They insulted us and shouted, "Sing about Zion, here in a foreign land." How could we sing about the Lord? And I find this very hard to resist. The rivers of Babylon, where we sat down, yeah, we went. I'm not quite Barack Obama, so. but Boney M. immortalized the words of this psalm in their song, "By the Rivers of Babylon." The context here in which Ezekiel found himself and in which this name comes out of was amongst a group of people who thought, that's it. Game over. Game over. But whilst they may have reached the end of the road, in a sense, as Ezekiel pointed out to them, and as read, and you read in the second half of his book, it may have been the end of the road, but it wasn't the end of the story. The people thought that because Jerusalem, the temple, and the land would be left a smoldering pile of rubble, all of these prophecies at the beginning of Ezekiel that he was coming out with, that the Babylonians would overrun it and wreck it, that God himself would leave them and abandon them to their fate. But these same people had forgotten about the Exodus from Egypt. These same people had forgot about the preparation and provision in the desert. They'd forgotten about the grace of God, His mercy. They were forgotten that they were His chosen people. I want you to reflect again on your own past. Think of your own past. We all have one. We don't live life in a bubble. We don't live life in a bubble. We don't live life in a protective bubble. Life happens to us as we go along. Think of when the Lord was the last thing on your mind. Think about how you were front and center in His. Think about His kindness led you to turn to Him. Paul writes in Romans, the kindness of God leads us to repentance. Repentance is all about the change of mind, not sitting necessarily somewhere with a scratchy sack and covered in ashes. Think about maybe situations where God was good to you. Think about how that caused you to think of Him and whisper, "Thank you." Think about that relationship. Think about that situation at work. Think about your health. Think about your finances. Think about that problem in your family. And remember in His gracious kindness how God helped you through all of that. Think of the encouragement you received because of that. Think of the blessing you enjoyed and the love you experienced. And do you know what? This morning, that's your testimony. Every single one of us sitting here this morning has a testimony. You have a story to tell. And as you can stand over your life this morning and say, "The Lord was there. The Lord was there. The Lord was there. And the Lord was there." And there may have been people in your world in the past at the time who may have sneered at you, scorned at you, poked fun at you, or disagreed with you. And they made your life difficult. But even then, you can reflect on the hand of God getting you through. There's a Danish Christian philosopher stroke theologian. He lived in the 19th century. His name was Soren Kierkegaard.
And he's attributed with this quote, "Life can only be understood backwards, but it must be lived forwards." You know, it's a bit like that image that we had there on the screen a few moments ago. The image in the mirror looking back is clear, but the surroundings as we're rushing through life now can be a bit blurred. But all over the circumstances of your past is written the words, "Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there." He's not constrained by time. He is eternal, and he is both the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. He is present in your past, and he is present in your now. Present in your past, and the second point is he's present in your now. We're going to read again Psalm 139, verses 1 to 12. I'm going to read out of the Message. If you want to follow along, if you've got your phone or your tablet with you, or if you've the good old analog version, ink and paper. Psalm 139, verses 1 to 12. "God, investigate my life. Get all the facts firsthand. I'm an open book to you. Even from a distance, you know what I'm thinking. You know when I leave and you know when I get back. I'm never out of your sight. You know everything I'm going to say before I start the first sentence. I look behind me and you're there. Then up ahead and you're there too. Your reassuring presence coming and going. This is too much, too wonderful. I can't take it all in. Is there any place I can go to avoid your spirit? To be out of your sight? If I climb to the sky, you're there. If I go underground, you're there. If I flew on the morning wings to the far western horizon, you'd find me in a minute. You're already there waiting. Then I said to myself, oh, he even sees me in the dark. At night, I am immersed in the light. It's a fact. Darkness isn't dark to you. Night and day, darkness and light, they're all the same to you." Wherever you find yourself right now, whatever the circumstances you find yourself in, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. He is with you. At Christmas, we think about the name of God as Emmanuel, God with us. God is continually with us, and he's with us through the thick and the thin of life. And like the psalmist said, he's everywhere. You know, the fancy word Bible scholars use for this is called omnipresent. He's everywhere all of the time. And he's over all things, and yet he's immediately with us at all times. So he's, the word they use is transcendent and imminent. And he's not confined by time or space. That's a head melter, that. It's hard to get your head round as a you know, looking at it from a human point of view. But let that sink in for a minute. I want you to do something for me. Take your hand. Put it on your chest. Feel your heartbeat. Feel your chest rise and fall as you breathe in and out. Let me tell you something this morning. Every heartbeat that you have, every breath that you take, the Lord is there with you. Every step that you take, he is there with you. How do I know this? Well, let's go and look at the words of Jesus. Matthew 28, verse 20. Jesus said this, "And be sure of this, I am with you always until the end of the world." I am with you always until the end of the world. There's a great story in Daniel chapter 3 of three lads, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, colloquially known as Meshach, Yershach, and Abungalow. These guys refused to bow down to Nebuchadnezzar's golden image, and as a result, they found themselves in deep stew. Nebuchadnezzar said, "Right, fire up the furnace and throw them in it." These three guys found themselves thrown into the furnace. I want to say to you this morning, even though you might not be physically thrown into a fiery furnace, sometimes in life we walk through troubled times. And you mightn't have the flames of the fiery furnace licking at your feet, but you might have the searing heat of poor health. You might have the hotness of a relationship breakup. You might have the searing heat and pain of death. But know that he is with you now. Just as when Nebuchadnezzar looked into this furnace And he didn't actually see three men, he saw four. Jesus was with them in the furnace. And let me tell you, as you walk through this life and experience trouble, Jesus will walk through with you as well. And in your moment of trouble, you will find that the amazing grace of God, as Paul found out, will be sufficient for you too. The Lord is there. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there in your trouble. And his gracious, loving kindness will take the circumstances which were meant for your harm and bring good out of it. These guys, I was reading this morning, walked out of this furnace. Their clothes weren't even burnt. They didn't even have a smell of smoke or anything on them. They walked out completely without trace, like they'd been through something. And you know what? God can take you that path as well. You know, you may think, oh, this is it. The ceiling's caving in here. But God can take you through it, and there won't even be a mark on you when you get out the other side. He is capable of doing that. Why? Because today he heals people. Today he repays and restores. That's his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. People mean you harm, but he can take that and use it for your good. That's the grace of God. I want to take you back to a story in Luke 24. You might be walking through life and find trouble, but you know, the guys on the road to Emmaus, they were disappointed. So you might have trouble, you might have disappointment. But as we walk with them, we find one thing. Jesus walked alongside them too. You know, you might find sometimes yourself discouraged or disappointed, but Jesus gets alongside you there too. The Lord is there, Jehovah Shammah. And as you listen and converse with God during those times, he will reveal himself afresh to you. And his heart will open your heart, and your heart will burn again for passion for his name when you begin to understand that there is something more magnificent for you that you have overlooked or could not possibly conceive. These guys sat down, they broke bread with Jesus, and their heart burned as he revealed scripture to them on the road. You know what? God's promise over your life is for abundance. John 1:16 says this, "From his abundance we have all received one gracious blessing after another." God means for your good. He is for your good. And it's God's desire to bless you, it's God's desire to encourage you, and it's God's desire to help all his children. He doesn't withhold any good thing from us. He's not tight-fisted, he's not mean, and nor is his gracious, loving kindness dependent on what you or I do. So it's not like we can put a few coins in the slot and influence what God does. He loves us so much anyway, regardless. He showers us with blessings. And do you know what? The Lord is there not only in your trouble or your disappointment, but he's there when the going is good too. And I want to say that this morning. He's there when the going is good. You know, I read my Bible and I look at Jesus' life, and what we get is we're presented with the little baby in Bethlehem, we're presented with the 12-year-old at the temple, and then we're presented with the man who starts his earthly ministry. But Jesus obviously was human and lived in between. And in a setting there in the Middle East, family was a big thing. He experienced the blessing of family life and growing up with friends. I'm sure Jesus went out in the street and played with his wee mates and even fell and caught his knee, you know, when he was playing with a ball or whatever they were doing. He was out playing with friends. He would have been involved in family celebrations. Jesus had other siblings and would experience the joy of those siblings coming into the house. He was involved in the community celebrations of weddings. One of the first miracles we're told about, of course, is Jesus at the Cana in Galilee. And he dined with, you know, records of him dining with Zacchaeus. And, you know, what I'm trying to say is, even in the good times, Jesus is with you as well. He's with you. And we know the Lord is there. And we can be content and at peace because of that. And we can be at ease because we know, as the worship team sang this morning, all is well. All is well when the Lord is there, Jehovah Shammah. Because of the grace of God, we're free to live this morning. Free to live. He's there in our troubles. He's there in our disappointments. But he's there when the going's good too. I want to read something else to you. There's one other thing I want to point out because of Jehovah Shammah. The Spirit is free to move among us. And it's important that we not only apply it individually, but apply it collectively as a group of people, as his church. I'm looking at Acts 10, 23 to 47. This is a story about the Roman guards, Cornelius, the Roman captain, Cornelius, and his encounter with Peter. I'm just going to start at verse 23, and we'll work our way through it. The next morning, second half of verse 23, Peter and some of the Lord's followers in Joppa left with the men who had come from Cornelius. The next day they arrived in Caesarea, where Cornelius was waiting for them. He also had invited his relatives and close friends. If you skip to verse 27, as Peter entered the house, he was still talking with Cornelius. Many people were there, and Peter said to them, verse 29, I agreed to come here, but I want to know why you sent for me. Cornelius answered, 4 days ago, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I was praying at home. Suddenly a man in bright clothes stood in front of me. He said, Cornelius, God has heard your prayers, and he knows about your gifts to the poor. Now send to Joppa for Simon Peter. He is visiting in the home of Simon the leather maker, who lives near the sea. I sent for you right away, and you have been good enough to come. All of us are here, mark these words, in the presence of the Lord God, so we can hear what he has to say. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. Peter then said, now I am certain that God treats all people alike. God is pleased with everyone who worships him and does right, no matter what nation they come from. Verse 44, while Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit took control of everyone who was listening. Some Jewish followers of the Lord had come with Peter, and they were surprised that the Holy Spirit had been given to Gentiles. Now they were hearing Gentiles speaking unknown languages and praising God. Peter said, these Gentiles have been given the Holy Spirit, just as we have. I want to point out a few things from that story, because it affects what we see collectively as Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is here amongst us as a community. Notice how Cornelius, first of all, invited people. He was expectant. Cornelius had his relatives and close friends there, and he went and got them, and he made sure they were sent out, and they got messages, and they brought them in. Notice how he recognized Jehovah Shammah, as I pointed out to you during the reading that the Lord is there. Notice what happened when Peter spoke. When Peter spoke, the presence of the Lord was there, the Spirit moved. This is why this morning, people, we need to invite people along to church. Why? The Lord is there. It's not because we have nice worship or nice instruments, and it's not because we have some charismatic speaker. It's not because we meet in a trendy building. It's because the Lord is there. And it's God, his very presence, that people, when they're under, he can transform their lives. And if you want to see transformation in people's lives like Cornelius, maybe start with your family and close friends. Ask them to come along. Ask them to come along to church, because God can move in their lives and transform hearts. Never underestimate this morning, folks, the power of invitation, because it can lead to transformation. Let me throw a challenge out to you. Who are you going to invite along? Maybe in the summer to this series, higher. Maybe in the autumn, we've got a series of different things going on. Who are you going to invite? Whose life do you want to see changed in your life? You know, as an elder here, my prayer for this community is that we are known in this city as a place, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. The place where people experience the fullness of God. They don't have to wait until heaven. They can experience the fullness of God here now. Whether that be through salvation, whether that be through healing, whether that be through deliverance, whether that be through restoration or miraculous provision, people will be talking in the streets, the exchange, the Lord is there. There's something going on there. God's presence is there. What about you? Is that what you want? Is that what you would love to see? Is that what's on your heart? I would love to see it, and I pray for it, and I hope you do too. But invite people along, because that will give God the opportunity to move as people encounter Jesus Christ Sunday by Sunday. God is present in your past. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. God is present in your now. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is here with you now. And God is present in your future. The Lord is not only present with us now, he's not only been present with us, but he's present with us in the future. You know, as believers, we do have an amazing inheritance to look forward to. We've got heaven, and that is amazing. And it's a place where Paul states, I don't know what's going on here with this. I think it's rubbing off my t-shirt. That's a place where Paul states that his letter to the church in Corinth, that no eye has seen, or no mind has conceived the things he has prepared for us. And it is an inheritance. That's the brilliant news. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to do X, Y, Z for God to give you this. We're freely given it by the grace of God and promised it as believers. That's our inheritance. Heaven, the Lord is there, Jehovah Shammah. But I just don't want to talk about heaven like some sort of abstract concept, because the Lord is here with us now. And he's also here with us as we progress, and he is there in our future. Deuteronomy 31, verse 8 reads this: "Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you." Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. Anybody like getting presents? I like getting presents too. So do they. How many people, when they get a present, maybe like this on their birthday or their or Christmas, they go, "Oh, you know what? I'm not sure if I could open that. What if there's something inside it that I don't like? I mean, what if there's something in there that I'm allergic to, or what if there's something in there that is dangerous, or what if there's something in there that, you know, could do me harm or do my family harm, or what if, you know what? I don't think I could open that. Honestly, I think I'll just leave it." I see a few wry smiles. The truth is, sometimes we treat our future like that with God. God has promised us so much. And when we're given a present, we need to remember who has given it to us, the character of the person that has given it to us. God intends for our good. He is gracious. He is loving. He is kind. He wants to prosper you and bless you and to see you built up and encouraged. He does not want to do you any harm. But sometimes we can act like, "Oh, you know, I don't want that." Let me tell you something. Fear this morning will prevent you from reaching your God-given destiny on earth if you give it a foothold in your life and feed it by listening to it, by giving it an earring. Worry will rob you of your time, your peace, and your contentment now, and yet it will change absolutely nothing. Don't worry or fear about your future. Why? Jehovah Shammah, the Lord, is already there. You need to be assured this morning that the Lord is there in your future. He is already there. And as was the case with the exiles in Babylon, just as the case with the Israelites on the banks of the Jordan, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there in your future. There's no need to worry or fear. For perfect love, that's God, casts out fear. And I believe this morning that if God has truly promised you something, you will have it in the fullness of time. You only have to stand and believe. What's God promised you in your life? This is what's coming up for you, Helen, David, Johnny, Jean, Ruth. This is your present. This is what's coming up for you. Grab hold of it. Don't be beset by fear or by worry. And don't be worried if you're maybe hit with, on the face of it, what looks like a setback, because it may well be the doorway to your destiny. May well be the doorway to you opening what God has for you. Don't be discouraged because things haven't worked out the way you wanted them to, as it may be that there's something more marvelous ahead. There's something special in the box. Don't be held back by what was. Don't be held back by what is. Look forward to what will be. God has promised good over your life this morning. He has good things ahead for you. Keep the faith and hold tightly to hope and know that the Lord is there in your future. Your promise, let me tell you this morning, if you forget everything else that I say, if God has made a promise over your life, hold on to it and it will come true. Persevere. Hold on. Keep going. Your heart's desires will be fulfilled. You only need to trust in him. Why? Because he's already there in your future. Each of us have hopes and dreams and ambitions. You know, I have my own hopes and dreams and ambitions too. But I know the Lord has gone ahead of me. I know that he is up the road ahead of me, and I know that he is good for me. My future, your future, our future, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. Let's look forward to good things and opening up the present that God has for each of us, the promise that God has for each of us in our own lives as we continue to walk in our journey of faith with him. I'm just going to ask the band to come back up again this morning.